host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond.
Today, I'm joined with Haneen Davies and Melissa Greenberg. Guys, awesome to have you on the show together.
We're so excited.
We've been working to get you guys on for a while, and you know, things have obviously been so busy for all of you. So very excited to talk about houseplant. And of course, for everyone who's tuning in right now, everybody's kind of been hearing about houseplant. They are really a lifestyle brand founded by Seth Rogen. And you know, the company obviously rooted in cannabis and creates very thoughtful, design-led, innovative products. So Haneen, maybe we'll start just quickly, you know, quick background on you. You know, you're based up in Canada, in Toronto, and, you know, you've been part of the houseplant team since 2018, and you were actually the first official employee, which is always quite fun. And you have quite a background, investor relations, you pivoted to join the Toronto International Film Festival, then you were at Unilever as a brand manager, then you were over at Pepsi, leading strategy. And then, of course, you also moved over to the agency side at Edelman, and now you're at Houseplant. So great background. And then Melissa Greenberg, you're currently the Chief Consumer Officer at Houseplant, and you have a fantastic background, too, you know, really working in the advertising world. You were over at Daily Candy. Then you moved over to Shift and was over at Fetch. And then, of course, you know, you entered the biotech space as the CMO of GoodCell, and then launched a lifestyle platform for cannabis called KikiLeaf, which was obviously acquired in May of 2018 by Houseplant. So, you know, congrats to you both. Great, great backgrounds. And you guys get to work together every single day. So that's got to be a lot of fun. So Haneen, why don't we start with you? You know, talk to us a little bit about being the, you know, the first employee at Houseplant.
Totally. I mean, listening to you talk about what I've done and where I've jumped, I think it's my career is really a true depiction of the struggle that exists between my analytical business mind and my love for creative and communication. Brand management at large CPG firms, as you know, it really, you know, that's where I built the foundation of my career. And it gives you the opportunity to be the GM of a business, but you avoid taking on any personal risk. And honestly, it's such great experience that I lean on daily. But the truth is, when you're running those businesses, you're spending 80% of your time driving the P&L. And I found myself craving more and more focus on the creative strategy. I wanted to solve problems through creative. So I jumped from client side to agency side, like you mentioned. And I actually did a stint at both Edelman and PR, but then I moved over to Taxi Agency, where I ended up for Houseplant, right? Yeah. And I joined them. And I can't tell you how much having client side context and knowing what the full picture looks like for clients, it makes you an absolute asset on the agency side. And that proved to be a really great move for me. And right before joining Houseplant, actually, I was the GM of Taxi 2. It's a division of Taxi Ad Agency here in Toronto, or it was at the time. And it was a dream job on paper. You know, I was leading the entire account team. I was owning all the top-to-top client relationships. It really pulled on all my strengths and interests. But I felt like my whole career, I've been searching for a little bit more. I wanted to impact culture on a larger level, and I've always loved lifestyle brands.
Sure.
I remember, Jeff, I mourned the day that I was promoted at Pepsi from Doritos brand manager to Tostitos senior brand manager. And I kept thinking, who wants to go from flavored to unflavored?
I was going to say, wasn't it the unflavored brand?
Exactly. So that's where my passion's always been. I wanted to build something from the ground up. I wanted some skin in the game. And Houseplant was truly right place at the right time for me. Mm-hmm. I have a longstanding friendship with Evan Goldberg, who's one of our five founders. Him and Seth are partners in almost everything they do in their career. We went to McGill University together. We were catching up and, you know, you had five founders based out of LA and they wanted someone that they could trust that has experience building brands. And at the time they needed that someone to be based out of Toronto because we launched in Canada first. Mm-hmm. I met them the next morning on video. This is before Zoom and COVID video, of course, but they're all in LA and we had a great chat and the rest is history. I joined them and we spent the next year building the brand, its full identity, finalizing the deal with our licensed producer here in Canada, and we launched a year later in 2019. And our Canadian launch here was focused on cannabis only. Mm-hmm. And then soon after that, we quickly became focused on launching in the US. We wanted to join the US when the time was right. And what was super exciting about our US plans is we were always planning on coming in with two sides of the business, cannabis in California, and then bringing our house goods business to life nationally. And that side of the business is something we've been working on for 3 years. So we see it as a major differentiator for us in the industry. And for those that may not know, House Goods is a line of homewares that are designed beautifully. And we keep the cannabis community in mind as we design those products. We really found that there's a void in beautifully designed pieces for the cannabis community specifically. So they're actually available nationally in the US and will give us a chance to build a national consumer base. Mm-hmm. So my current role is, as you mentioned, Chief Commercial Officer, and I manage our global marketing and communication strategy, as well as the house goods business in the US and our Canadian operations here in Canada. And it's been a wild ride. It's been crazy to see us building this business since we were only 6 people total to what we are now. And the reaction and warm welcome in the US has been overwhelming and very lovely.
Totally. No, I'm so excited that you guys are finally here. So, you know, Melissa, let's pivot over to you for a second. So, you know, like Haneen, you also have a, you know, absolutely incredible career, you know, obviously spanning media, advertising, SaaS, agency, biotech, and now cannabis. And, you know, I think, you know, something that's pretty interesting that a lot of us have also dealt with is that we never worked in the cannabis space and now we do. And so maybe talk us through a little bit about one, Kiki Leaf, you know, before it was bought, you know, and how you kind of integrated into Houseplant post-acquisition.
Sure. Well, I think the majority of my career has been really focused on helping first-time CEOs and founders build and scale their businesses. Mm-hmm. So mostly in the startup world. And when I was working at the biotech company GoodCell, I went to LA to visit a good friend of mine, Aaron. And it was right when adult use opened up in California. We went to the first dispensary I'd ever been to. And we started talking to the bud tender, who was this like 22-year-old kid, and asked him, you know, what do you have for people like us, casual cannabis consumer? Do you have anything specific for women? And he pointed us to suppositories and PMS cream.
Oh my God.
And
seriously?
Yes. Oh. And we looked at each other like, you know, we want to get high. We don't need a feminine hygiene product. And it dawned on us that there was a real opportunity here to connect to the female cannabis consumer. And I think, you know, over the past few years, the industry has really grown in terms of understanding that consumer. But at the time, this was in early 2018, there was really nothing on shelves that were speaking to me as a consumer. And so Aaron and I created Kiki Leaf, which was a technology platform that helped women figure out what cannabis products best align with their personal lifestyle. And it kind of mimicked the Pros hair care, Cara vitamins model, where you take in, you know, first party data, learning about the female consumer, and then delivering a highly curated shopping cart of recommendations of cannabis products. And, you know, we went out to raise money and we raised some money from friends and family. And we were introduced to Mikey, who's the CEO and one of the founders of Houseplant. We pitched him on investing in Kiki Leaf and he turned us down, but he remained, you know, a kind of an informal advisor to the company and made some great introductions to some folks in the industry. And we just kind of stayed in touch over the course of the year. And we built our beta product and things were going well. And right before we were going to launch, we went back to Mikey and asked him to invest again. And again, he said no. But he, you know, it became obvious in those conversations that we really saw the world the same way. And we shared the same views and goals of wanting to understand the cannabis consumer better than any other brand. And so Houseplant ended up acquiring Kiki Leaf and my business partner, Aaron, and I joined Houseplant. Aaron is our head of sales. And as you mentioned, I'm the chief consumer officer, and I oversee our cannabis supply chain in the US, you know, our e-commerce website, and all things kind of social impact. And it's been, you know, a wild year and a half, but I get to work with people like Haneen every day who bring a ton of the CPG big company experience, which I think in general, Houseplant is just so unique with people that have such diverse work experiences. It makes it super fun to come to work to every day.
Totally. And I think, you know, also everybody knows this, but, you know, Houseplant was, you know, co-founded by Evan Goldberg and Seth Rogen, who are obviously comedy icons, and, you know, also brought to life Pineapple Express. So just from you both, you know, what's it like, one, you know, creating a cannabis brand backed by not just comedy, but also cannabis culture icons? Like, what's it like in the life of Houseplant? With, you know, is it, do you have this fun culture? Are people always laughing? Like, obviously there are serious moments, but, you know, talk to us about that kind of feeling.
The culture is awesome. It is fun. And I think a lot of people probably assume we're laughing all the time. And for sure, there's many funny moments. I think at the end of the day, everybody brings their full self to work. It's a small team that knows each other very well. Mm-hmm. And Evan and Seth are, I think, more involved than anybody could imagine. You know, they're co-founders, but they're very much the visionaries behind this brand. I mean, don't tell them I said this, but they're basically the creative directors behind the brand. I'd like to hire a creative director soon, but truly they're the creative directors behind this brand. Mm-hmm. And it's their, they have such an intimate understanding of the cannabis consumer, and it's probably the most powerful contribution added, you know, to what we're doing. But this is their life vision. It's not something they're just slapping their name on. And they spend a lot of time deliberating the smallest details, especially if those details are consumer facing. So, you know, this has all been about putting their passion out, truly feeling like this plant has been really important to their happiness and productivity in life. And that's the insight that drives everything we do. We want to treat cannabis with the reverence it deserves. We always say we want to be the brand that weed deserves. And comedy, just because you asked, I don't want to forget to hit it. It doesn't play into it as much as people imagine. I think what really transfers over is their ability to storytell in a way that no one else can, for sure. If you look at our communication, I think you'll see that. But we actually kind of stay away from being funny. I think we're fun, but not funny, is how we think about it.
Totally. So, you know, I think from a product perspective, one thing that is pretty amazing is that you guys pretty much sell out instantly. And I'm curious, what exactly is it about the brand that makes it so popular? Is it that it's also, you know, backed by these icons? Is it that the product is so incredible? Like, is there a secret sauce? Like, talk to us about that.
I think it's actually both. It's both things you mentioned. It's exactly what we were just talking about. I think Seth and Evan, there's a real story there. A lot of people came into the funnel immediately. As soon as they heard we were launching, we were honestly overwhelmed by the amount of people that immediately followed us on Instagram or joined our email database. But I think, you know, and I'll let Melissa speak to the cannabis side, but House Goods, you know, it spans multiple consumers too. And it's a wide audience. I think it's, we think of our audience as the one common denominator is that they love design and quality products. But if you look at our categories, it spans everything from music to ceramics and art. So our products are awesome. They're original. They're backed by a true story, but we're also creating a lifestyle brand that goes way beyond cannabis.
Mm-hmm. Totally. So from a growth perspective, and I think maybe Melissa, this is probably, you know, could be focused on you. Like, how do you look at the brand over the course of, let's just say, you know, the next year, the next two, as far as, you know, rapid growth?
Yeah, from a cannabis perspective, I mean, we only launched in early March, and we are in 17 dispensaries in California. And it took us about a year to figure out where we wanted Houseplant Cannabis to show up. It was really purposeful in terms of who we were partnering with. And we spent a year learning about, you know, their dedication to the consumer experience, their commitment to social responsibility, and their growth plans. And in terms of our expansion, I mean, it's pretty simple. we don't compromise quality for scale. There's been, you know, there's still a lot to learn and a lot of space to grow within the current retail footprint. We're continuing to innovate on the product side, and we'll likely grow our suite of products before you see us expanding into new doors. And we're maniacally focused on the consumer experience. And from my perspective, I've seen a lot of brands come into the California market with scale being their number one priority. And there's been no attention paid to the brand story, the consumer experience. And I think that's why a lot of brands are no longer around, because they're just, you know, going for scale and not for quality.
What do you guys think as far as, you know, the celebrity market? I mean, I'm seeing every day there's almost a new celebrity coming out with their own products. And so it's almost like, you know, some people are, how do they really differentiate, right, from one brand to another when it comes to, you know, a celebrity endorsement?
Yeah. I mean, I heard that Steve Urkel has a brand, which is pretty cool. Purple Urkel.
I was like,
well, great name, guys. Great name.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, to Haneen's point earlier, the company could have put Seth's name on a jar of weed a long time ago and called it a day.
Right.
But these guys have been ideating on building Houseplant for 10 years with the goal of really creating the most culturally relevant cannabis brand. And in order to do that, you have to be in it for the long haul, and you have to be super thoughtful about how you enter and operate in the market. And so in terms of kind of what sets us apart is, one, really what Haneen said earlier, is how involved our founders are. This isn't, you know, a celebrity endorsement deal. These guys are business owners. They're active participants in the operational strategy. You know, I've worked with a ton of founders, and I can tell you that Seth and Evan are more involved than some of the most ambitious first-time founders I've ever worked with, which says a lot. And I think two is just, again, prioritizing quality over scale. It's just, I think that really differentiates us from any brand. And I think, you know, I wouldn't necessarily call us a celebrity brand. We have a celebrity founder, but the brand is so much bigger and will be so much bigger than Seth moving forward. I mean, between our house goods and our cannabis, there's just so much potential for the brand to grow and scale. And to think we've only been around for a couple months is wild.
Yeah, for sure. Now, let's talk a little bit about strains. So I think, you know, especially naming of the Houseplant strains, I know that there's definitely a funny story related to Pineapple Express. Who wants to take a stab at that one?
I don't know if it's that funny. Like, maybe Haneen has the story, but, you know, from my perspective, we spent over a year trying to figure out what to name these strains. And we kept coming back to weather systems, because Pineapple Express is a weather system.
Yes.
And
specific.
Yeah. And there's exactly. And there's a lot of weather systems to choose from. And some of them are really fun that we'll be using soon. And, you know, choosing one for each strain has led to some really fun and heated debates internally. I have some favorites, and I have ones that I refuse to use.
Well, I don't know if you guys know this about me, but I did go to school to be a meteorologist. So when I saw
wow. That's amazing.
Like this. Yeah. I'll send you guys a couple of clips of me doing the weather in upstate New York at the age of 21. It's quite humorous.
Well, if you have any suggestions on weather systems, we're open. We have a long list to choose from, but we're always
add you to our Google Doc.
That's exactly.
I would be honored to, actually. I could probably come up with some good names. So guys, you know, before we break, I think one thing that I definitely wanted to make sure we covered today is, you know, one, you guys are, you know, incredible leaders in the space, but I know that there's also a ton of folks that are listening on the show that are also, you know, looking to break into cannabis. There's a ton of women who are working in cannabis, and they're always looking for, you know, thought leaders and, you know, advice. So, you know, anything that you guys can give, maybe each of you, on what your top advice would be for women who are operating in cannabis or want to get into cannabis.
Yeah, Melissa, I can start quickly and just say my biggest thing with women in cannabis for me is just join us, you know, come and lead this industry. It's a very male dominated industry, and we should change that. And I think I'd love to see more females joining the world of cannabis and not letting the fact that it's extremely male dominated turn them away. I think even at Houseplant, it's been part of our DNA from the beginning. We really set out to create a company that, you know, debunks what a typical cannabis boardroom would look like, truly. And so we have, as you can see through Melissa and I, a 50% female leadership team, and almost 70% of our current employees are female. So I think my biggest thing is just get a seat at the table and join us.
Awesome. I love it. It's great advice. Melissa, anything maybe you want to come to the top with, or are you good?
I was going to say the same thing, get involved. This industry needs people with diverse backgrounds and skill sets. And it's so early in the industry that you don't need 10 years experience in cannabis to get a job. So now's the time to make the shift into the industry. And it's a very welcoming one.
Awesome. Well, guys, I really appreciate you guys coming on. Neen Davies, Chief Commercial Officer at Houseplant. Melissa Greenberg, Chief Consumer Officer at Houseplant. Always a pleasure. Thanks for dropping your wisdom. And of course, congratulations to you guys and everything that's happening in the US and Canada. And we'll be watching you guys very carefully. So thank you guys again for taking the time to come on.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff.
Awesome.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.